Okay, so the Gemara in Dalkov from the Beis has a Maisa of Yalsa, the wife of Rav Nachman, who ostensibly went psak shopping on her Mara, and that raises a couple of halacha questions. One of them emerges from the Kasha that Tosis and other Rishonim ask on the bottom of Kaf Amid Beis. The Tosis quotes, V'yesh Maksha, Yalsa Hechi Avdahachi, Amrina, I'm sorry, okay. Yeshmasha Yasa Hichi Abdahachi, Hamina Perkamda Besakasavazara, Hanishalachacham the teammate, Layishalachacham the attire. So the Gemara presents halacha that once you ask a shayla and you get a psak, that's in the context of Tam Bevitir, then you can't ask a second opinion. So how is it that Yasa here Shadur Maris twice? One was Matamni, one was Mitahir. That the hakpada of not asking a shayla twice is on the chacham. There's no problem to ask the question. The problem is to answer it if it's already been answered by a previous pasuk. However, there's nothing prohibiting the shayla from asking the shayla multiple times, because perhaps that'll cause the more authentic tzak to emerge. There'll be more shach v'tari, more give and take, more analysis, and then the truth may come out more clearly. And sometimes it may emerge that the first chacham ha-oser was in fact making a mistake, and that'll be clarified following the additional review. So the Kpeda is on the Chacham, the Nishal, as far as the parameters of his being native after this attack, but there's nothing wrong with asking the Shaila again. The Tosis in the Bodhisattva there, and the Zayin and Menal, the Maskal Nishal, expands on what exactly those parameters are as far as there being a concern with the Nishal. And Tosis says that the shayla needs to inform the nishal and inform the chacham that the shayla has already been presented, and then there's no chisaron as long as the nishal, the second nishal, acts properly. Tosus suggests a distinction between a Talmud bar Mishnah and a Talmud b'shikal adas, that if the chacham ha-oser was Talmud bar Mishnah, so then as long as the second chacham has the proper information and fact pattern and history of the case, then he has the right to paskin differently, because he determines that the initial chacham was a Torah b'dvar Mishnah, as opposed to a Torah b'shikol adas, where it would be more difficult, that creates a higher bar for the second nishal to reverse the psak, unless it's done in consultation with the first nishal. And this distinction is quoted l'halacha by the Rama in Yeridea, in Simon Reishman Mendez, Seif Lamed Aleph, in the context of Hilchos Tamil Chacham, Simon Reishman Mendez, Seif Lamed Aleph. So there, the Rama writes, Chacham Sha'asar Ein Chaver Rasha Lahatir Mishiko Adas. That if there's already a psak on the books, then another Chacham can't reverse a psak simply on the basis of a Shiko Adas consideration. Aval, in Yishlo Kabbalah Sheta, but if he has a Kabbalah, that there was a Taos, and that's not our topic today, what the parameters of such a Kabbalah are, you have a different Sarah Mzak, what that means. Oh, Sheta Midvar Mishnah, or if the second Chacham determines that the first Chacham is Tabid Var Mishnah, then Yuchal Lahatir, then the second Chacham is empowered to reverse that Tzak, because the first Chacham, who may not have been such a Chacham if he was Tabid Var Mishnah, was Talbid Var Mishnah. And then the Rama adds, V'afilu imta b'shikol adas, even where there is a shikol adas consideration, yachal lisa v'lita in imamora ad shiachserba. So he could have a shach v'tari, the second chacham can engage the first chacham and maybe convince him of his error, and if there's a consensus between the first chacham and the second chacham, then that could result in a psak reversal. Okay, what is the chisaron of a Chacham HaMatir reversing a Psak of a Chacham HaOser. So if you look in Rashi over here on Kaf Amud Beis, Dira Maskel Agmere, Rashi writes, Agamri Samach, Dipshita Le Detahor, Vahai Dehafa Metame Meikara, Mishim Kvodo, the Rabbi Bar Chana. We have a Mesapkare, we'll have a Samach Allah. So the reason for preserving the original plaque of the Imitame was Mishim Kvodo of the Posek Parisha. It sounds like the concern is one of kavod for the first Hamad Chacham. If that's the case, if it's a function of kavod, so there may be situations where that doesn't apply if the second posek is eminently more qualified than the first. So the Shach writes in Reish Mem Beis of Katan Nun Gimel that the second Chacham can't reverse the Psak, afil hu galdam imana b'chacham v'minyan, Kakasav Haran, Shem Arivid, Rivash, Aval, Midivi Marik, Nira Shesov Rebushit, is the Dafka Chaveiro Amro, Avakoshu Eno Chaveiro, Shu Golda Mimanu, Rasha Lahatir, Masha Asar Harisha. Kenda Asaran, Kozamari Bishneim Shavim, the Me'echa Golda Chaveiro, Bachachma Yacha Lahatir, Masha Asar Chaveiro. So the Shachos and Achos that you show them on this point, is there a difference as far as the parameters of a Chacham, a second Chacham overturning the Psak of the first Chacham? Is there a difference between whether the second Chacham is leagues ahead of the first Chacham or not? So the Shach doesn't quote Rashi, but if the concern is one of Kavod, so arguably that's less of a concern if the second Chacham is in a different league than the first Chacham. If it's not kavod, then what is the concern? So if you look in the Rashi of the Avodah Zarah, that's Ayin Min Aleph, Dibur Maskel Tanu Rabbanan. The Rashi has a line, the Lashon Gemara is that Ein Chaveir Rashi Lahatir, if the first Chacham Aser is Metatme, the second Chacham can't be Metahir. Nidamar Ein Rashi, Mashmadim Hitiro, Eino Mutar. Eino Mutar. The fact that it says he's not allowed to be Matir sounds like such a psak would be ineffective. The two gersos, whether it's Eino Mitaher or Eino Mutar. There's no chalos of committing it. That if he did issue that psak would be baseless, meaningless, ineffective. And that's what the Rashba quotes after Arivid, and that's Arivid that the Shach was Mitzayin over here. And the Ritva has a similar Lashon. So Rabbi Morgenstern points out in Parak Aled that the language here, actually that's, let me read a line previous. Near Divya Arivid Shekasav, this is again the Rashba. Near Divya Arivid Shekasav, Eino Rashai, Veino Heter Kamar. He's not allowed to, and there's no Heter for doing so. The Kevan de Asru, the Asro, since the first Chacham Asered it, once the first Chacham Asered it, Isura Revia Alei, Venasis Chaticha de Isura. So once the first Chacham gave his Tzak, that created, that asr, the, you're talking about a davar, a substance that we're passing on its status, be it tumvatara, or be it kosher or not kosher, so that makes it into a chaticha d'isura. So that's a kind of shavi anafshe, not necessarily shavi anafshe on the part of the shayel, or the bala chasicha, But the psak inherently gives a status of iser to the object that the psak relates to. So once there's such a psak asers bechefsa that which the psak affects. So Rabbi Morgenstern points out that there are different nisuchim in the Rishonim, those who have this kind of chaticha disura approach that we saw here in the Rashba according to Ravid. What is the orientation of the shavye nafshe? So the lesson that we just read in the Ravid, it's going on the chaticha that came into us isura reviale v'nasis chaticha disura, that the object itself becomes a chaticha disura. It says the lashon of the Rivash and Simon Shin Ayin Tes is mefurish that the chaticha d'isur is going on the show, the classic shavye nafshe. It's not that it created a iser be'etzem on the chefza, but by virtue of the fact that the show asked the shayla and received the psak, so then that binds the show to abide by the psak. That's a shavye nafshe chaticha d'isura on the show. The Shach presents it as follows in Simi Reish Mem Beis of Katan Nuntes. So the Lashon, the Hemshech of the Ramah there is Afilim Hitir Harishon V'Kvar Chala Hara'aso. That even if the first posek paskin, it was matir, and the notion guys are talking about is the first posek asers is mitame. But then Ramah says, even if it's in the other direction, afilam hitir rishon for chala raso, that the first posek paskin is leheter, ein l'sheni lasor mikar shikol adas. So the second one shouldn't aser on the basis of Shikla Das either. Lomi by, in the case of the Gemara, that the first Chacham is Mitame, the second Chacham can't be Mitaher. But even the other direction, even if the first Chacham is Mitaher, the second Chacham can't be Mitame on the basis of the Shikla Das. So in that, says the Ramah, says the Shach, Darki Moshe, quoting from the Rush, quoting Yerushalmi, he says, he smag, I go smag, and he assume that no, it only goes in one direction, but a chacham can answer if the previous chacham was matir. And he says, that's the mashmos of this rivid of chaticha d'isur. So Shach says, that's an afkamina. That if the concern of prohibiting a chacham, the second chacham from overriding the psak, the first chacham, is because the first Chacham created a Shavi and Afshe, so the Shavi and Afshe only works in one direction. It's Shavi and Afshe Chaticha Disura. But if the first Chacham Paskin the Kula, the Heter, the Taher, there's no Shavi and Afshe at play, then there's nothing precluding a second Posek from reversing the Psak on the basis of a Shikol Adas. But if the concern is Mishum Kodo Sharishon, so then the Kodo Sharishon can be impugned. Whether you're reversing a psak of tahor or reversing a psak of tameh, that applies equally in both directions. So the Shach says that that's the nafkamina between the reasons of Rishonim, is Mishum Kvodo Shal Rishon, is Mishum Shavi Nafshe, that can you reverse a psak from tahor to tameh. And that's what, so that's the psak of the Ramah, that you can't. So it sounds like the Ramah is going with the cheshbon of kavod over the cheshbon of shavye nafshe chaticha d'isura. Okay, so nafkamina of gadol, if the second chacham is leaks out of the first chacham, so then there's no concern of kavod, there is still concern of shavye nafshe. Nafkamina of reversing a psak L'chumra, where there's no concern in Shabbin Ashrei, but there is a concern Nishum Kvodo. Yeah, Rami.
I don't think I fully understood the Ribash, but for the Ribash, when you say Shabbi Amnashe is going on Shoel, so would that also play into this? I mean, does it mean the sock itself is binding on the Shoel? Is that what we mean when we say Shabbi Amnashe?
It means that the Psaq is binding on the Shoel. The Shoel, by virtue of asking the Shaila, accepts the Psaq on himself.
So then for him, even if you go with the Shabbi Amnashe, but you go in the Ribash Shabbi Amnashe direction, that also should not be looked to be reversed. As for the second
half, that shouldn't be reversed in what case?
Even in the case of going from Mutter to Asher.
No, that's not a Shabbi Nafshe. Shabbi Nafshe is only relevant in the context of an Isser.
Right, but I'm saying it's a question of having a Psaq be binding as opposed to like
Asher
and something.
There's no status of a Psaq Litara Lehatcher being binding. I mean, you could be, you're leaving aside the separate question of whether is a Zipsak Leheter, do you have a right to be Machmer on yourself? But it's not a Shavei Nafshe situation, even if you view Shavei Nafshe, the Shavei Nafshe on the person is a classic Shavei Nafshe, that it's not that the Chetza is objectively Usser, it's that it's Usser as far as I'm concerned. So that kind of a Shabbi Nafshe, if someone else didn't ask the Shaila, so that Chaticha may be mutter to him who didn't ask the Shaila, only asked it to the Shoah. In a case where there's no objective Isser and it's a Shikur Das matter. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes a story that he discussed with Rabbi Yosha once in this is Paradalit footnote 40, that someone had asked a shaila to a local rabbi, and the local rabbi was mitame, said that it's a maratame. And then, without telling the background, he showed the shaila to two gedolei ador, not Rav Yosha, two other gedolei ador. And both gedolei ador said it's pasha, that it's a maratahor. But he didn't tell the gedolei ador that he had first showed it to his local Orthodox rabbi. So then they asked Rav Yashiv, is he allowed to be Makel on the basis of the Pesach of the Gedolei Ador, even though he had originally shown it to a different local rabbi who was Metame. So he said that, again, so that would be Nafkamini, ostensibly that's the Nafkamini between the Kavod consideration and Shavei Nafshe. But Rav Yashiv was not so excited to be Matir until they told him that the first Rav, when we saw it, it was in poor lighting and he may not have gotten the full picture. So Rav Yashiv said to go back to the first Rav and tell him that is it possible that you would have passed him differently if the lighting would have been better. And if he said yes, then he was willing to be Makel. But even where the Shaila was asked to Gedolei Ador Mamish after asking your local Orthodox rabbi without giving the full story, Rav Yashiv was reluctant to carte blanche, allow the person to rely on the Gedolei Ador who were Matir, who were Matir. Okay. The previous Tosfos here, Divrei Maskil Kol Yoma, notes that why is it that Yalsa had to go Psaq shopping? She was married to a pretty impressive Talmid Chacham in his own right, Rav Nachman. So it says Tosfos, Mashma Shelo Haisa Regila Lahara, so Nachman Baila. It sounds like Yalsa didn't normally show her Maros to her own husband. V'shama Lo Yabaki, so maybe Rav Nachman wasn't a Baki Maros. So there, Rav Nachman did pass an anamara. So that was a particular detail that he was comfortable passing on. Inami, she was worried that Rav Nachman had excessive Yirat Shamayim or excessive nervousness, and we've been reluctant to actually rely on a Psak Lekula, even if it was warranted, he would have been unduly Machmer Lasma, so she was better off asking the Shaila out of the house. Inami Shalotiskana Befanav. Or she was worried that it wouldn't be, could create some Gnai to show your Maris your own husband. But the concern was not that there's any Isser in Paskining on your wife's Maris. So, if there would have been such a restriction, you would have expected to find that in the Mishnah Negayim that lists similar restrictions. So, apparently, there's no evidence for a husband being precluded from paskining on his wife's maras. And this is quoted Lalacha by the Shach here in Sifkatan Zayin. Okay. There is a Meiri, and that's a Psak Mekubal without, we'll see in a moment, any qualifications. There is a Meiri. The Meiri here, cross Tosos, the lady concludes, and in the fact that Lomar, Shakol Shahaisa Tali Bo, Kishal Atmahu, the A Lo Liros. So, despite what Tosus writes, the Meiri is concerned that maybe it's considered to be essentially paskining on yourself, ishto kagufo, and therefore, in practice, the Meiri says a husband should not paskin on his wife's maris. But that's that lock, stock, and barrel disqualification is essentially a shitas yachidin rishonim, and Meiri isn't convinced fully either, any mefakik lomar, but you don't find that in other rishonim. What you do find is a new position, and that's a Rash in that mission in the Gaon in the Tosfos quotes in Perek Beis. The Rash writes that there's a distinction between a situation of Ischazik Isura and Lo Ischazik Isura. That a Chacham can paskin on his wife's maros if it's Lo Ischazik Isura, but not if it's Ischazik Isura. The Chachmas Adam, without quoting the Rash, was the Rash on Tyrus not printed 200 years ago? Anyone know? Okay. So the Chachmas Adam, as far as I can tell, does not quote the Rash, but essentially Paskin is like the Rash. The Chachmas Adam writes, Simon Kuftes Osvav, Habal Yachal Liras Demei Ishto, is Mitzay L'Shach, Venerali, the im ira la she'ela b'inyan atvila, ena bal yachal lahoros, dumia deshchita le'el, klal aleph. So what's the din b'shchita? So the Taz, in Hilchos Shchita, Simen Yud Ches, Sifkatan Tesvav, Simen Yud Ches, Sifkatan Tesvav paskins, that a Tanu Chacham can't paskin on a shayla, on a shchita that he shechted. Is that considered you're paskining on a status change? It's Bechaskas Isser until the Shkita is proper. So to paskin on a status change that affects you, that you're a party to, that you can't do. That's the Schazik Isser. So the Chachmas Adam says, same thing over here, that to paskin on a Shailan Tfila, where the woman beforehand is Tmeya, now she's Tahora, that directly affects you. So that's Ischazik Isura, that's changing, paskining on something that will change your status from Ischazik Isra to Ischazik Heter, and that you would be precluded from. And that's essentially the position of the Rash. Now, the Chachmas Adam doesn't say, and the Pesukim I quoted don't say, you might have said the same thing for Hefsek Tara, that Hefsek Tara, as we have alluded to and we'll discuss more, also is mostly a woman mecheskas tumet mecheskas tara, more of a theoretical status change than a practical status change. As far as the hetter labayil, it's a theoretical status change, not a practical status change. So maybe that's the difference. She was a practical status change, But the Chochmas Agma says it as far as tefillah. Now, I think it was in the Sheva Levi where I saw one of the contemporary Svarim, that even the Chochmas Agma is only talking about a real shayla, meaning if it's a zil kari beirath kind of shayla, where the woman has a question, but it's open to shal and shafan arach what the answer is, so that's not the kind of shayla Chochmas Agma is talking about, that you couldn't pass me for your wife. You're talking about where there's a real shayla that requires analysis. So then the Chochmas Adam, which is the position of the Rash, would distinguish between Eskazik Yisur and Leveskazik Yisur, and the conventional Psaq, which is the Psaq of the Shach, based on Tosfos and Rav Rishonim, is that that's not the case. That's the Psaq of the Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkat and Kaf Beis, that a husband can paskin on his wife's maros, and even on a shayla regarding tevila. Somebody knows what he's talking about, obviously. One other ha'ara, Ramosha, Yoredeya Chele Bey Simon Kuf Mem Vav, Yoredeya Chele Bey Simon Kuf Mem Vav. So this is in the context of, Ramosha has a number of examples of what Rabbi Bleich refers to as the Aruch HaShulchan principle, because the Aruch HaShulchan articulates it in a few places, which is that the Torah doesn't take into consideration phenomena that are not visible to the naked eye. Relevant to one of the examples the Aruch HaShulchan discusses is how you're allowed to breathe in the air. Aren't there so many creatures in the air? But anything which is not visible by the naked eye is not of any halakhic consideration, relevant to water, drinking water as well. So Ramosha, one of the examples he quotes is about tefillin, that you don't need to measure the ribu of tefillin with an instrument that takes more precise measurements than the way it appears visually. And one of the other examples he gives, referencing referencing the Simcha Zelig, quoting from Reb Chaim, that you don't have to check maros with a microscope. That whatever the way a mara appears visually is all you need to paskin on the basis of. So if visually it appears to be a mara tahor, then even if were you to examine it under a microscope, it would look like a mara tameh. We paskin that it's tahor. One caveat is Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Yashiv that sometimes you have to be careful. He says in the following situation. Let's say you have a mara. In the beginning of Perek Gimel. So if you have a mara that you can't see without a magnifying glass, so then that doesn't concern us. But he says that if you have a mara where it's clear that it is a mara without a magnifying glass, but you can't tell what color it is in either direction without a magnifying glass, then you should use a magnifying glass. It's, you see it's a Mara, but you can't tell what the shade is without a magnifying glass. It says there you should use a magnifying glass. Not exactly sure what the seer is. If you have something, what is the presentation that you're seeing? You see something, you can't tell what the shade is, so what does it look like to you? I'm not exactly sure what the seer is, but it does seem to say there may be cases where using a magnifying glass may be warranted, and maybe the seer is where it looks borderline, and you could be machria letaher if you use a magnifying glass. I'm not exactly sure what the seer is talking about is. Okay. So with that, yeah, Mayor.
Going back to the husband passing for the wife for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why should it be an issue at all? I just don't understand why. It's not like a din Torah. There's no chalos psak or any edus or anything like that. It's just you need to know whether it's butter or asa, like any other psak. So why should there be an issue of a korva over here, or even for oneself? A person can pass it on his own shilas always if he knows the din.
So why can a person pass it on an ego?
I thought that was just a gzeres hakasif.
And why can't you pass it on your own shkita?
Yeah, same question. I don't know. I didn't understand that either.
That happens to be the Aruch HaShulchan is maker on Shkita also, but that there is Machlokes Achronim. I'll try to give that a little more thought. Okay. Okay. So let's begin the sugya of Hefsek Tara, and transitioning to the broader topic of the Tara process of Anida, leading up to Tvila and Chatzitza, which should take us a while. Now, chronologically, we probably should have started with the din of Paleta Shechvazera and the 4 or 5 days before Hefsek Tara, but just because the way it's ordered in Shulchan Aruch is beginning with Hefsek Tara through Shiva Nekiyim, and then the end of Paleta, the din of Paletas comes up at the end of the Siman, so we're going to follow the Seder Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, and start with Hefsek Tara. And that's the Mishnah on Daf Samech Hesiman Aleph, which is talking in the context of the Hefsek Tara for a Nida D'Oraisa. Meaning, Nida Torah, a Nida can be Tovelus after 7 days on Leil Shmini, independent of whether she saw Dam for the entire 7 days or a portion thereof. As long as she stops seeing Dam by the end of the seventh day, she can go to the mikvah after 7 days on Leil Shmini. However, the Mishnah requires that in order to be able to go to the mikvah, she needs to have what we call the Hefsek Tara, what the Mishnah refers to as Hifrisha, before the end of the seventh day. And we shall assume that whatever is true here for a Nida D'Oraisa is true for a Zava as well. That a Zava, in order to start counting Shiva Nekiyim, or Zava Gadol, in order to start counting Shiva Nekiyim, also requires a Hefsek Tara in advance of her Shiva Nekiyim. That emerges from, we need to prove it, that emerges from Rashi on Samaf Tes Amid Aleph, Dibur Masko V'Hacha Ashmi Inan. Samaf Tes Amid Aleph, Dibur Masko V'Hacha Ashmi Inan, as the Marsha explains on the Rashi. And that's the assumption of Tosfos on Samaf Tes Amid Aleph, Dibur Masko V'Hacha Kamash Milan. Samaf Tes Amid Aleph V'Hacha Kamash Milan, that's the assumption of Tosfos's question, that any Zava Gedola requires Hafrasha, requires a Hefsek Tara in the advance of her Shiva Nekiyim. And that's what the Rush writes in Perek Yud Simen Hay. Hilkach Nashim Ha'imna, Shein Safek Zava. So all our women who we treat as a Zava L'chumra, every woman is considered a Safek Zava. Tzrichos Lahafsek B'Tara, they require a Hefsek Tara. Livdok Atzman, Sheyadua Shenista Mayan. So they require a Hefsek Tara to establish that they're no longer seeing Dam before beginning the Shiva Nekiyim. And that's the lashon of the Mechaber in the beginning of Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, Shivas Yomim Shazava Soferes Maskila Mimachras Yom Shepaskaba. The 7 days, the Shiva Nekiyim of a Zava Gedola, that a Zava counts, begin the day after her Hefsek Tara. So even though the Mishnah that we're going to be analyzing now is in the context of a Nida D'Oraisa, but the requirement of Hefsek Tara is as relevant for a Zava Gedola and for our women who treat themselves as Zavas L'chumra or Safek Zava, whatever you want to call it. So what is the need for a Hefsek Tara? What does Hefsek Tara accomplish? The Rashi writes on Samaf Tes Amid Aleph, Dibur Masko V'Hacha Ashmi Inan, but halfway down, Misha Huchzak Mayan Pasuach Leka Lachzuke B'Tara, that once a woman is Muchzaka as Mayan Pasuach, once she's Muchzaka that she sing Dam, Leka Lachzuke B'Tara Ashe Tivdok V'Timsa Shepasach. So you can't be massacre B'Tara, you can't assume that she has been yotzeis from the cheskas mayim pesuach, unless she checks and finds that indeed she did stop seeing them. So it's necessary to have a Hefsek Tara to pivot, to transition from the cheskas mayim pesuach to a cheskas Tara. And again, Rashi there in Samach Tesamin Aleph is in the context of a Zava, where Rashi references the Mishnah of Nida. So again, the requirement applies equally for a Nida and a Zava. Presumably the reasoning is the same. In both situations, you are transitioning from a Cheskas Tuma to a Cheskas Tara, and that transition needs a Hefsek Tara, a Bedika, to establish that it's Mayanasa Sasa and that she's no longer seeing that. So we'll discuss probably next time whether we're talking about a Dinder Raisa or a Dinder Abana. The Gemara also raises a requirement of a Hefsek Tara in the context of Ksamim, meaning if a woman sees a Kesem, or especially only Derabanan, which effectively renders her Tmeya Midarabanan, the Surah Baila Midarabanan. So that's the Shaila the Gemara has in Gimel Amud Beis, whether a woman who's Tmeya Mishum Kesem also requires a Hefetara. And that is the Maskana of Gemara, that a woman does require a Hefetara even from a Kesem. And that is reflected in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Simen Kuf Sadi. Right, Simen Kuf Sadi, the Simen Oksamim. Sricha Hefek Tara, Shetiv the Gospel, Vitim Satara, Vakar Kach Timna, Shivinakiyam Chut Miyom Hamitsia. So even in the context of a Kesem, a woman requires Hefek Tara. The bottom line, Bein Lenida the Raisa, Bein Lezava the Raisa, Bein Lekesem, the Rabbanon, in order to begin a Tara process, there needs to be a Hefek Tara. Okay, so with that Hagdama, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah Samachasim and Aleph. Nida Shabadka Atzma Yom Shvi'i Shachris. So a woman did a Bedika on the morning of day 7. Again, we're talking about a Nida Daraisa. So as long as she's good to go at the end of day 7, she goes to Mikvah that night. So Nida Shabadka Atzma Yom Shvi'i Shachris. She did a Bedika the morning of the 7. Umasa Taharin was a clean Bedika. But she did not perform a hafetara bein hashmashas. The Beit Yosef points out, bein hashmashas doesn't mean literally bein hashmashas, because once it's really bein hashmashas, the day's over. It means sabachu bein hashmashas, means at the end of the day, it means approaching bein hashmashas. So, Anida did a bedika the morning of day 7, it was clean, but she neglected to do a hefek tara towards the end of the day. And then a few days later, she did a bedika, and she found herself to be tameya. So do we follow the chazaka de mikar, the chazaka de hashda? At what point are we choshesh le'inyan taros that she became tameya? So you can assume that until the point that she had the problematic bedika a few days later, she was becheskas tahara, because the bedika that she performed on the morning of day 7 was sufficient to establish her becheskas tahara. Baka atma biyom shvi shachru sematza tmeya. Let's say the opposite case. Excuse me. She did a bedika the morning of day 7, and it was a bad bedika. Ubeina shmasha sorefisha. And she didn't do a hefek tara. Liachas man baka masa tara. Harezi b'chaskas tmeya. So then she's b'chaskas tmeya because she never left her chaskas tuma, because on day 7 there was no hefek tara and the bedika in the morning wasn't a good bedika. Umetama le eslaif, pkida pkida, and yesh le vesta yeshaita. Fine, that's not our concern. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shol refreshet betara min mincha l'mala, harezi b'chaskas tmeya. Even if she did a bedika in the morning of day 7, it was a good bedika, but she didn't do a hefek tara later in the day, she is becheskas tmeya. The chachamim omrim, afilu bishnayim the midas habakam asatara. Even if she did a bedika on day 2, and it was a good bedika, ubein hashmashas ofish, and she didn't do a hefek tara on day 7 ben hashmashas, v'lo'achas man bakam asatmeya, harezu becheskas tahara. Okay, so Rashi here understands that there were 3 deus and tanaim in the sukkah. Look at Rashi, the Maskal, afilu b'shnayim l'nidas habaka. So that's within the position of Chachamim, that even if she did a bedika on day 2, Shachris, umasa tahora, So she didn't do anything else after the bedikah in the morning at day two. Ulasav shiva tavla, and then she went to the mikvah Motzei day seven. The achayam in Bagla Masa Tmeya, and then a few days later she did a bedikah, she's Tmeya. So the fact that she did a bedikah on day two was sufficient to remove the chaskas tama, and she's considered the chaskas tahora. The shalosh machlokas bedavar. There are three shitas in the Mishnah. The Tanakama shvi hudu mitarasa bedika shakris, avos shenilo. According to Tanakama, in order to be yotzei mechaskas tama, she needs a bedika on day seven, but that bedika could be even in the morning, even if she didn't do a hefzikara later. And according to Rabbi Huda, it needs to be day seven later in the day. Morning bedikah won't help. And according to the Chachamim, even a bedikah on day two counts as a hafzik tahara. So Rashi says there are three shitas in the Mishnah. Now, why within shitas Rabbi Huda? Why do you distinguish between a morning bedika and an afternoon hafzik tahara? Rabbi Huda says, even on day seven, if you did the bedika, essentially the hafzik tahara in the morning, it doesn't count. If you do bedika in the afternoon, some of the ben hashmashas, it does count. So the Ra'a explains in the Beda Kabayis, Kaf Gimel Amud Beis, that if you do bedika in the morning, Rechoshesh, then maybe she's going to see Dam again later in the day. But if you do a bedika min a mincha l'mala later in the day, you don't have to be choshech that she's going to see Dan after that. Lashon of the Ra is she yatsa ruba shayom b'tara. That once the majority of the day passed uneventfully, then you don't have to be choshech that she's going to see Dan for the remainder of the day. So according to the Ra, the Bein Hashmashos is not Mamish Samach Ben Hashmashos. It sounds like any time, as long as you do Hefek Tara sometime in the afternoon, after the midday point, after the midpoint of the day, then you can say Yatsa Ruba Shayam Mitara, and you don't have to be Choshish. So that includes about what time of day Hefek Tara needs to be done. We'll discuss them Sheikh probably next week. Again, according to Rashi, there are three shitas here among Tanar. Take a look at the Tosa Rosh, Dira Masa V'Chachamim Omer. Kedepirush Rashi, Gimel Machlokas V'Davar, Tanakama Savar Davka B'Shvi, Rabbi Huda Davka B'Nishmashos, V'Chachamim Omerim Ath B'Sheni. Okay. L'Perusho Ika Dayan Tana Revi. But according to the way Rashi frames the Mishnah, once you read the Gemara, you see there's a fourth day in time. The Gemara Ka'amar, Afilu Birisha. Take a look at the Gemara on Amud Beis. So Gemara, the last piece before the Mishnah, Tanya, Amalei Rabbi Huda. Amalei Adem Minachas Beinah Kol Ben Hashmashos Yafat HaOmer. So if it was a case that literally the woman could have her hands also mock on the entire Ben Hashmashos and establish that after the Hefek Tahara there's no more Dam, so then it would make sense that you have to have a Hefek Tahara B'Sof HaYom. Achshav Emer M'Sila Kedah Rasa. Mali Fisha Batara Bazaim and Minchal Mala, Mala Fisha Batara Barisha. But given that that's not the case, and given that even if Huda agrees that you could have Hefek Tahara towards the end of the day, but how do you establish that there's no Dam after the Hefek Tahara? And once you tell me that you're willing to allow a certain window, then why does that window have to be so small? Then even Hefek Tahara earlier we should work. So Gemara says, Birisha Meika Lamanda Amar. What do you mean I feel with Frisha Batara Rishon? She even work on day one. Does anyone say a day one Hefek Tahara works? The best you see in our Mishnah is a Chachamim say day two Hefek Tahara works. V'atanya, Amar Rebbe, Sha'alti Rebbe Yossi, Reb Shimon, K'shei Mahacha Mederech, Nidah Shabak Afma Yom Zayin Shachris Amatzah Tahor Ben Ashrasha Tzor Frisha, V'lacha Yom and Baka Amatzah Tamei Amahu, Amar Rebbe, Yisim Bekas Kastava, that's good enough. As long as you did a bidik on the morning of day seven, that's fine. Shishi, Chamishi, Revi, Shlishi, Sheni Mai, what's the din if she did a bidik on the morning of day 6, 5, 4, 3, 2? Amar Rebbe, Loshna, doesn't make a difference. The din is safe. But Risha lo sha'alti, Vita isi shalo sha'alti, but I did ask a shal about day one, and I made a mistake. Atu kulu la becheskes to makaymi, became the pasak pasak, Risha na became the pasak pasak. So the same should be true, biyama Risha, that even biyama Risha and the hasak tarish should work. So says the rush, that's the fourth day in tonight. That Hefzik Risha on day one works, and that's the version of Rebbe in the Gemara on Samachas of the Beis. So according to Rashi's analysis of the Mishnah, the Rashi frames the three Shittas in Tanayim. Once you get to the Beis, it's the fourth day in Tanayim, that of Rebbe, that even a Hefzik Tara on day one should work. So says the Rosh, Hebat Mira, Delaka Ela Trey Tanay. So no, let's go in the other direction and whittle it down to two authentic shitas in the Mishnah. The Chacham and Mefarshim the Tanakama. And the Chacham are simply coming to be Mefarish the Tanakama. Mishon, Rebbe Yehuda by Yafarshim in the Mincha L'mala, V'losagi v'afarshim the Shvi Shachris. According to Rebbe Yehuda, the Hafitah has to be B'sof Hayom. The Asur Rabban and Lefrushay, the Afilu B'Shapirsha B'Sheni Sagya. And the Chacham say that, nope, that even a half a tower in day two works. And fundamentally, there's no difference between day two and day one. Even day one will work. Just practically speaking, a woman's not likely going to do the bedik on day one because she just became tamea, so the dam is just there. What's the bedik going to help? So according to the Rush, there are really only 2 days. When Tanakama said, Nida Shabak Asma Yom Shvi, that's the norm, but that's not Lafuke, day 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, or even 1. And Rebbe Yehuda says, no, it has to be B'Sof Hayom on day 7. So only 2 days in Tanayim. Either Hefzik Tara works any time before, from day 1 and on, or it needs to be Dafka B'Sof Hayom on day 7. And that's the position of the Rashba Lahalacha. Chidushim over here on Samachasim and Bays, Dimaskul Mistabra. The Mistabra came to Rebbe Amr Varisham Roshaalti, Bitaisish Roshaalti. The Ashikhamul Rabban and Khan, the army behead of Bibrai Samali Fisha Barisha. So since Rebbe says, I really should have asked about day one, and the Gemara says there isn't any Svar Lachalik between day one and day two. So that should be the Psak Halacha. That's the position of Rebbe, which is the position of Chachamim, that against Rebbe Yehuda, that even has a Tara on day one works. The Alpha God, the Sasim Asnis and Bishani of Abrisham Lo. So that's the case. Why does the Mishnah not say it? Why does the Mishnah only say Chame Omim Afilu Bishnaim when he do so? Masnisa Rebbe Hu Ditikin, the Sasim Ulafishala Shama Mehem Elasheni Amar Inami Sheni. So Rebbe was the Mechaber, the Masad of the Mishnah. Rebbe only wrote that which he heard the Farish. Aba Braisa Tanya Behadja Barishon Vala Samchina. But you have to read the Mishnah through the lens of the Shakwe Tayan on the base, through the lens of the Braisa. And the Braisa is the Farish that a Hefzik Tara works even on day one. So Rashba says, that is the halacha. So according to the Rashba, halacha l'maisa, a hefzik tara would work even on day one in the odd case where a woman, again, we're talking about, we're not talking l'maisa yet, about the requirement of paletas and waiting 5 days or 4 days. We're talking about a nida d'oraisa, where in theory, if you had a woman who had a re'iyah on in the morning of day one, and then the dam suddenly stops, and then she does hefektar an hour later, in that rare case, the Rashba would say that halacha l'maisa make her a din, that is a sufficient hefektar, and even if she takes no further action for the remainder of the Shiva Nakiyim, the remainder of the Shiva Yimei Nida, then she could go to the mikvah, motza'e, day seven. And then the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis on Kavdala Mebeis, Kavdala Medalef writes that the Kol Shekein, a Hefek Tara should work on day one. Nowadays, where we do a Moch Dachuk B'Sof Hayom, She'en Lecha Bedika Gedola Mizu. That if you're going to do a Moch Dachuk at the end of day one, or the end of whatever day you do a Hefsek Tara, so that Moch Dachuk, inserting a Moch for a extended period of time, that's a super Bedika, and that will give you extra assurance that your Hefsek Tara at the beginning of the day was sufficient. So the Rashba presents that as Eliezer says, that Mikra din, if you do a Hefsek Tara on day one, that's good enough. And Eliezer says, if you're doing the Moch Dachuk anyway, then even better. The Ramban assumes that a Hefsek Tara on day one only works in conjunction with a Moch Dachuk. Perek Beis of the Halachos, Halacha Aleph. If a woman sees dam on day one, upaska bo bayom, and then she does a hefek tara on that day, ein amona miyama machras, as she talks or livedok, via yada beinenah kol beinash mashas. So she could only start counting the next day if she has yada beinenah kol beinash mashas, if she has a moch dachuk. Because the entire first day, the woman is considered becheskas tmeya, because hukzak mayana pasuach, unless she does a moch dachuk b'sof hayom. V'yesh meko b'davar mikeven shabaku pasak adam, alach esman ma'asatar, harezu becheskas tara. But the Ramban himself assumes that a day one is fundamentally different than day two. Since day one is Huksak Mayana Pasuach, she started seeing Dam that day, so there's a stronger Cheskas Tuma. So doing a regular Hefsek Tara is not going to be sufficient to remove that Cheskas Tuma. It needs to be a Hefsek Tara in conjunction with a Moch Dachuk. And that's what the Ramban writes in Chidushim as well. Samachasim et Aleph, Dibimaskel Hadid Tanan, Dibimaskel Hadid Tanan, that Berishon, Hal the Huxak, Mayan Pasuachlo, the Tchilas Nida ain darker Lusak Biyoma. That you can't just rely on a Hefsek Tara on day one, because it's not the norm that a woman's going to stop bleeding on day one. Unless you do a Moch Dachuk. Now, the Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Kaf, the Rambam Perek Vav Halacha Kaf, ostensibly paskins that a Hefsek Tara only works on day two and not on day one. Try to put it up here in a second. Okay. The Rambam writes, paragraph halacha kaf. Nida shabaka asma b'sol chimei nidasa, umatza shapasa kadam. So if a nida does a bedika d'yumei nidusa, and she finds that the dam stopped, v'afilu pasak b'sheinu nidusa, even if she did a heftikaran day too, the shagaga oizida v'lo baka ay l'achar nidasa yamim rabim, and for whatever reason she didn't do a subsequent bedika, that's sufficient. So the Rambam says, even a Hefsiktara on day two works, but it's only a Hefsiktara on day two, it's not a Hefsiktara on day one. And there's no mention in the Rambam of any Mochdach requirement, the way we saw on the Ramban, and at least the Chachila, the way we saw in the Rashba. Now, the Magen Mishnah here quotes the Ramban, and the Beis Yosef writes, the fact that the Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban is indicative that the Magen Mishnah held that the Rambam is masking to the Ramban, that if you use the Moftachuk, then you can even rely on the Hefsiktara on day one. And the Rambam doesn't say that because Tarka Shel Rambam is only to quote Lashon Gemara. So the Beis Yosef thinks the fact that the Magen Mishnah quotes the Ramban without comment indicates that he held that the Rambam would agree to the Ramban. That is true. Under regular Hefsiktara, it only works starting in day two. But if you did a Hefsiktara coupled with the Moftachuk, then that would work even on day one. Right, so just to summarize the shitas we've shown that we saw so far, there are that we made brief reference to before holds that a bedika Hefsiktara doesn't work on day one at all. The Rashba assumes that a bedika works on day one, the Ikar Adin, but lechachila or lemaisa should be done in conjunction with the Mochdachuk. The Ramban assumes that the Ikar Adin, a bedika only works on day one, a Hefsiktara only works on day one with the Mochdachuk. And then take a look at the Rush. I can't find it in the Rush one. I'm going to read it from the Torah, quoting the Rush. The Torah in the beginning of Ketzadim Vav quotes, "Milashin Adoni Avi Rasal Yeroa Shetzricha Shetisam B'Tara Ben Hashmashas." That in order for a Hefsiktara to be effective on day one, it has to be performed Ben Hashmashas. Shakasa Vizal the Achar Sheyifso Kadam. Tivdok atzma yafa yafa, ubedika zu tia bein hashmashos, beyom shetifsak bo miliras. So it sounds like that requirement of Bein HaShemashos is across the board, that even if you do a Hefzik Torah, if you do a Hefzik Torah any day where it's going to be effective, it has to be done Bein HaShemashos. So again, four possibilities you were shown in a Hefzik Torah on day one, either doesn't work at all, only works with a Mechtachuk, Meikar then works without a Mechtachuk, Meikar then requires a Mechtachuk, or can only work Samuch Lebein HaShemashos. So this whole Shaila Lemaisa is only really relevant. It's not relevant in your standard case of a Nida, who number one needs to wait a minimum of 4 or 5 days before doing a Hefzik Torah anyway. I mean, our colloquial Nida and Zav L'Chumra, and it's cannot impossible that a woman who has a normal Re'iyah is going to stop seeing blood that day, but it is relevant in the situation of a Kesem. And a woman sees a Kesem, and that Kesem requires a Torah process, let me restate that. A woman sees a kesem in the middle of a existing process. There's a woman's in the middle of Shiva Nikim, and she sees Dam, be it a kesem, be it a bedika, and she has to start the process again. So in that kind of situation, where there's no requirement of counting another 5 days, that doesn't be relevant. A woman has a problematic bedika, so that's so through the Shiva Nikiyam, but she doesn't have to restart the clock with another 5 days before the new Shiva Nikiyam. She could restart as soon as she's clean. So in that situation, a woman has a problematic bedika, so she restarts the Shiva Nikiyam, but she could do a Hefzik Torah potentially that same day. So that's where this is relevant. What's the status of a Hefzik Torah on day one? Okay. I guess we'll stop here for today, and next time we'll take a look at how this is paskened in Shulchan Aruch and discuss the status of whether Hefzik Torah is a Din D'oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay.